this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
One more time. Now, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the work of your Spirit amongst us today, leading us into what is right and true and giving us clear reality of who you are, of what you've done and what you're doing, what you're speaking to us about. And Father, we just appreciate you. We bless you. You are great and your love is great for us. And we are so grateful for that. And we receive that here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Grab a seat. Thanks, band. Love you guys, doing a great job, and especially this guy here, he's with our children on a Friday night, went in, they had a fire in the rain last Friday, and a barbecue, but fortunately Jono was there and helped him whip up a bit of a shelter, and they're having a great time. I'm very grateful for the youth team and ministry, looking after our kids, preaching to them, and have a great team, very blessed. And so today we are continuing in our series on financial foundations, which is great. Do we have another screen, don't we? Where's the screen? There it is. And yes, we've done Attitude, great message with Hudson, and then Chris last week, fantastic message on faith. And I'm very privileged today to speak to you with work. I love work. Work is good. And yeah, it is, as I tell my staff, it's not holidays. It is work, and let's get into it, let's enjoy it, and let's appreciate it. And I have, very early on when I came to faith, I found a few scriptures that were quite pivotal and foundational for me, and I found great success in those scriptures, implying them to my work. And also God, just remind you, God is always there with you. His presence is always there with you every day, not just on a Sunday, but in your work, God is there, and you can be aware of him, and he's really intelligent. He's very smart, and he likes work. He loves work, and he's a real worker. And if you connect with him in your work, you'll find great success, and you'll find moments that only you and him know about and build a relationship in and with God. So what a blessing to have God in your work. And God likes work. He started the world by working. True. And he had a Sabbath, day's rest, and he set that up for us, and it's not really for him. He's always working. He's always doing good. He's never like, Gabriel, we're calling it. We're having an RDO. Let's put a pause on answers to prayer. You know what? This is today. Let's not walk on water. No more, no raising the dead. Prayers can be answered tomorrow. Let's just have a hold on prophecy. He's always, you know, no, we're gonna go to Cairns for the day. You know, we're gonna take a day, put our feet in the beach. Actually, no, we won't go to Cairns for the day because if we show up there, it might melt. We'll go to the other side, the far known universe, and we'll have a day off. He doesn't do that. He's always doing good. Jesus said in John, in chapter 5, verse 7, my Father is always working, and so am I. He's always doing good. He's always doing good things, and he has good things and good work for you. And I think if he had a day off, everything would just fall apart, I think. His presence holds everything together. One day, Jesus will come back. Maybe that'll be the day off. Not too sure. Something will happen. Maybe then. But God gave Adam a job. With a job description, he said, look, here's the garden, tend it. There was no weeds. It's just like, what was he doing? It's just like picking fruit. Oh, and then go and take this environment, fill the earth with it, and multiply. Pretty good job to start with. In a garden with no weeds, picking fruit, and multiplying. You would have been happy about that. But there's always work through the Bible, isn't there? When you read through, you always see people, Paul the great apostle, Pharisee, the lawyer, gets the calling from God, preaching the gospel, but he has a season of tent making where he's making tents to provide a living for where he's at in that season, and he's working. And the Jewish custom was that they would train their sons in a trade. That was their custom. And it is the custom all around the world. When you go to different parts of the world, in different places, there is a trade. And we went to Mexico many, many years ago. We built homes. Across the road, there was a guy fixing a car. He was working on this car. We were building a home in a very poor community. And his son was helping him, about 10 years old. And we developed a bit of a conversation with this guy. And yes, he was teaching his son a trade. And that was the son's future. That was his opportunity in a very poor community to provide an income when he grew up. And I didn't really see this kid go to school, but he was learning a trade. And it is the same right through the Bible. People had trades. James and John were fishing in a boat, and then Jesus called them and they left their father and they went and they followed Christ. They had a trade. Even when Jesus went back to his hometown, they didn't like him. They took offense at him. Isn't this the carpenter? It's because he'd worked on all their houses. He'd been on all their job sites, and they didn't know him as the Son of God. They knew him as the carpenter. He had a trade, and work is good. Jesus was a worker. And we're spoilt for choice in this country, aren't we? We've almost got so much choice, we don't know what to do. And I have a lot of young guys come and work for me, and they don't know what to do. And I'm just like, well, just do well in what you're doing. Let's just start there. Because we have so much choice, and it can be confusing when you're young to be looking for a job. But let's look at one scripture here in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. It says, nothing is better for a man than to eat and drink and enjoy his work. I have also seen that this is from the hand of God, or this is the gift of God. And you can have faith, you can have a confidence, God has got good work for you. And not just work. There'll be a season maybe where you're just doing a job. Like I started selling lollies in a fish and chip shop when I was 13 years old at a Avoca Beach store. But it wasn't my career that I was stepping into. But God has got a place that you're wired for, that you fit. You know, if I think of Stuart, who was playing the guitar, is he here? Where is he? Oh, he's been promoted. See what happens when you start playing? You sit closer to the front. There's more anointing up here, let me tell you. Unless you're a jerk-off and you can just sit there and you'd be sweet. But, you know, you talk to Stuart, he talks to you about accounting. And his business, and quite a business too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like impressed. I'm like, but I don't see him putting the hat, the gear on and the helmet and getting some tree lopping going on and cutting a tree down. He's wired for an account. He's gone into something. He's wired for that. He's set up for that. He's good at that. And I believe that God has got something, or a season at least, where you are wired for a particular job, and it is good, and it includes God. I was on a job site and we saw a construction manager there, and he'd been on a job many years before with us. His name was Damo, and he asked how you were, Frosty, because Frosty used to work with me. And he just told me how much he loved his job. And I had said to him, oh, they must be really looking after you. You're still working for the same construction company, because we see a lot of construction companies and they seem to change their supervisors and managers, and they move and they get promoted in different companies. This guy, he just loves his job. And he proceeded to tell me how much he loved his work. I just really love my work, you know, because of construction. And I love it. I don't know what I'd do with it. Life would be boring. I just come to work and I love work. And I loved him. I was like, I'm having a crush. I love my job too. I love coming to work, and I love making an awesome playground in this place that you've made an awesome building. I've done this amazing playground, and yes, it was just a moment. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But I came to Christ in my early 20s. It was a wonderful experience coming to Christ and just saw what God had done. Oh, he took my place on the cross and died. I just didn't realize it was all about that. And so I was really into mission work and into serving God and into just really focused on serving God. And I worked for a employment agency, and they would put me in different factories. And I picked up a couple of scriptures in this time and started to apply them to my life, because I wasn't sure if I should be a carpenter or if I should be a... I thought plumbing, no, I am not going doing plumbing, digging crap, no. Or Sparky, well, yeah, and maybe I'm not wired for that. I'm not. But what should I do? I'm not sure what I should do. What should I do? And I was just working and I was saving money and then I was spending all that money going on mission, and I was getting into my mid to later 20s and still doing the same thing. And it's great coming to church, because in church you get good advice sometimes. You get really good advice. And so if you're uncertain and you're young, my advice to you is to talk to the pastor or talk to Janelle or talk to someone who's further down the track, and maybe they can pray for you and give you some good advice. And so I, well, actually, I'm just going to talk about Tim, because everyone else has been talking about Tim. And I want to talk about him because I love his beard. Yep. True. Two man crushes in one moment. I'm not sure it's true. But no, Tim, when I first walked into church, there was Tim playing the bass, and a lot younger. And this is over 20. And I think, I'm pretty sure his mum was worship leading. And I've been an admirer of Tim over the years, because he's just has an awesome beard. And he's done really well. But he came in and he laid some synthetic grass when he left school. And that lasted a couple of weeks because he wasn't wired for that. And then he went into window cleaning, and he can clean windows really well. But it wasn't for him. So what he did was he asked the pastor, what should I do? And the pastor gave him some advice. Well, maybe you should be a teacher. You would make a good teacher. And I have to agree that he is really wired for teaching. He's a really good teacher. And just go on and spend a bit of time in Bali. We went on the mission trip there. I'm just like, man, you are a really good person. And a great teacher. And so I had that when I was as young and in this season when I was doing all this work and not sure what I should do. And this guy said to me, he was a mentor of mine at the time for a period of time. This guy mentored me. And he said to me, look, Byron, you've had 40 days off this year. And I was like, oh, I don't even know. He's like, yep. And you're doing a lot of good things. But you can't build a family on that lifestyle. You know, saving money and working and coming and going. He said, you need to work. And it sort of hit me. I was like, oh, but I am working. He's like, no, you need to work. I was like, yes, you're right. I need to really put my effort and my energy and focus. And then he told me how he saved $5,000 in a year. He said, when I was younger, I saved $5,000 in a year. And I listened to him and I thought, you know what? I'm going to save $10,000 this year. And I worked. And I got $200 every week and physically. And I went down to the bank at East Gosford, Bendigo Bank, and I put it in a term deposit. And on the last week of the year, I felt great because I took my last $200 and I saved 10 grand. And I was like, wow, I just saved $10,000. That's right. You know, I was cheering. So if you're younger and you don't have as many bills and you're getting into work, make sure you save. And I talked to some of the young guys at my work. I'm like, are you saving? Not really saving. I'm like, start saving. That really propelled me forward, that building those habits, really going hard in work and going hard in work. And then that took me I got married soon after that. And then we bought our first house, which was fantastic. And what a great season. And God really, really blessed me in the work that I was doing. And you can trust God and you can have faith that He has a plan and a purpose for your life, a plan that includes not just good work, but work, and maybe it's a season that you're really wired for, because careers change and people chop and change, and that's fine. But there is a place where God will bless you, a work that provides, work that is blessed. And when you read through the Bible, work that has God's favor on it. And so I want to show you a couple of scriptures. And the first thing I really want to say to you today about work is have an excellent approach to work. And sometimes you're not going to feel like that, but have an excellent approach to work. In Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, and this scripture, if we can put that up, was really pivotal to me in those early years. And it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Now, I applied this to whatever I was doing, and I did it in factory work. And When I was working in that season of factories, it was really, really boring because you could stand there and watch the pies go past in Sara Lee or some of these other. It was all just factory work, but I loved it because it was process and I was fascinated by it. But I tell you, an 8-hour shift watching the pies go past and just quality checking at this one place, I was watching this oven and there was like about 8 pies wide and they were all going in and I had to watch, and if something went wrong I had to push a button. And you can imagine standing there for 4 hours. And I was fascinated by all the machines, and I hear this noise over here and I look over and there's something going on, and I look back and one of the pies got stuck. And when one pie gets stuck, 1,000 other pies get stuck. And there was just this pile of apple pies rising up over this oven, and I was just like, with the button. And then the guy comes over and he looks at me and he looks and he's like, what? And I'm like, oh, just one moment. Oh my goodness. Anyway, work is good. And whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So in this season, unfortunately for the pies, but I applied this scripture of just having a real go, of just wanting to do it well. And my first thing is have an excellent approach. Work well in what you do. Work well. Work well. And the key to good work is to be good in the work that you do. Start with a great attitude. You know, so many Aussies just have this, oh, the boss can afford it. Ah, she'd be right. Don't worry about a bit of spoilage. That's a terrible attitude. You're just costing them money. I don't feel like going to work today. I'm going to have a sickie. I own those sickies. Those sickies are mine. No, don't have a sickie. Don't have a day off. Pick yourself up, pull your head in, and go to work and do a good job. Do a really good job. And you know what? When I worked in that season in those factories, they would ring me at 3 o'clock in the morning, and that was before mobile phones. And so the phone would ring, and I worked out that no one wanted to take those shifts because someone in that company had decided to not come in, so they needed to fill a shift. They needed to fill someone, so they would ring around the employment agencies, right? And so what they did was they would ring me at 3, and I worked out that if I answer that phone and I say yes, they're going to give me more shifts. And so I said yes to every time that phone rang. I would be like, yep, I'm going to do it, yep, I'll be there. And my body was going, this is wrong. 4 o'clock in the morning. You can tell I hadn't had kids yet, so... But I would go there and watch the pies go past, you know, like, whoa. Some of it was really fun, though. Some of it was fun. But, you know, factories, and I, one of my shows that I actually watch on TV, if I watch TV, is about factories now. And I've decided that that's fine. I'm really interested in their process. And yes, I have become older. Because I watch a show and it shows what all goes on in the factories. Anyway, I love process. And so work well in what you do, and just be well. You know, John Hull, he's not here today. He's obviously run, but he came to work for me. And we started doing a lot more creative timber products. And he wasn't the only one to do this. But he was working it out, come out of school, which what am I going to do with my life? And so we started doing all this timber and we're showing him how to do it. And then he really took to it, you know, he really got into it. And we're building these little bridges and decks and little weird cubby houses and all kinds of crazy things and pathways and all out of timber. And he's just building all this stuff. And then he went and got a job as a carpenter. He was just doing really well. And then he just went into his career. And now he's a great carpenter. I had another guy, Ryan, who did the same thing. And God bless him. They're doing really well. They worked well. And then the second thing I want to show you here today about just having an excellent approach to work is in Proverbs 22, verse 29. So work well. And in Proverbs 22, verse 29, then work better. Work well, work better. Have an excellent approach. Proverbs 22, verse 29 says, "Do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings." And this is the way of promotion. Is to just get better at what you do. If you're doing a job, do a better job. And if you think you made it, just go again. Just do a better job. And so I read this scripture and I thought, you know what? I don't know what I want to do, but whatever I want to do, I want to do really, really well. And so we started laying synthetic grass, and God bless my father, actually, who, when I was very young, took me out onto some of his job sites, and he was a carpet layer. And he would take me, and I would sort of pick up the bits of carpet, and he had all these knives and all this stuff. So when I went, you know, 20-odd years later into laying synthetic grass, it felt very familiar. I felt like, yes, because it's like outdoor carpet laying, and I felt like, yes, I can, I'm wired for this. This is, and I started to get into grass laying, and then I started to really get into a thing called wet pour rubber. You'll see it in some playgrounds, and that came into the industry at the same time. And so I went into wet pour rubber, and it is a very fickle product, expands and contracts and does all this stuff. And so we really learnt about wet pour rubber. And so when I laid wet pour rubber, it's just like I started to really to lay it, and I've had some of you guys work with me, and it's hard work. Like you're on your knees all day, and for some reason, it's like laying concrete, you know, it can be hard on your back. Oh, I just loved it, and I was just into it, and I just was laying all this rubber, and then I started to do all this creative stuff, and outside you'll see some of our handiwork. There's a big 3D lady beetle out there. We started to do things that other companies couldn't do, and so we really got really good at laying rubber. Now, when I started my business a bit over maybe 13 years ago, what happened was childcare just really boomed. Everyone had to work to pay their mortgage. All their kids went to childcare. And we started working for all these guys. And these people are the kings of the earth, some of them. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. Some of these people have so much money. They rock up in... And I start trading with these guys. And what I'm trading with is a really high skill, high... end product for these high-end childcare in city and up in Newcastle and around the place. You see some playgrounds in childcare and they're nice, and then you see some playgrounds and you're like, what is going on here? This is amazing. And so this is what you end up with. You see someone skilled in their work. They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. And this is the way of promotion. It doesn't matter what you do. And if you want to do the best you can do in whatever you do, then there will be promotion for you, and God will use that. And so this is exactly what happens to Joseph. He was very diligent. He was very trustworthy, and he was a really good worker, and he had an excellent approach. And his brothers sold him into slavery. That was a terrible start to his working career, really. They faked his death to his dad, sold him into slavery, but he didn't hold on to that. He worked, and when he worked really, really well. And so he goes into Potiphar's house, and it says in Genesis 39, verse 2, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, serving in the household of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and made him prosper in all that he did, Joseph found favour in his sight and became his personal attendant." So Potiphar is the captain of the guard of Pharaoh's army. And so, and then if you go further into the story, yes, he gets sort of forgotten about for a couple of years, and he ends up running the whole nation for Pharaoh. But in this season, and then he just works excellent, and he works really, really well. And so Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted him with everything he owned. And from that time, he put Joseph in charge of his household and all he owned. The Lord blessed the Egyptian as well, his whole household, on account of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was on everything he owned, both in his house and in his field. So Potiphar left all that he owned to Joseph's care. He did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. And he was significantly promoted because he did well, and then he did even better. He did excellent. He did really, really well. And that leads into my second thing that I sort of want to share with you. Maybe it's the fourth thing, but let's call it number two, is God's presence, because he obviously has God's presence. And God's presence, I mean, you have to take God to work. I mean, you can't not take God to work. You can just not be aware of him. He's always there. He's in you. You know, when God said to Adam, "Here, garden this garden," it was always God's intention to be there. Sin wasn't part of the plan. The separation thing wasn't part of the plan. And so in Christ, when we have this redemption, we're pulled back. Jesus has made an access to the Father. He's given us access to the Father. And take God to work, or be aware of God in work. God is really smart, and he has great ideas. I have found he's had great ideas. I mean, Peter's fishing. Jesus has an idea. Why don't you put your net on that side? Because he knows where the fish are and he gets a massive catch of fish. What a great day at work. Really, pretty good start. Jesus shows up, fills the boat with fish. I mean, that is a good day's business right there. Even when they worked hard all night, didn't make any sense. Doesn't have to make sense. The fish were in the boat. It's very good. You know, if you look at the life of Daniel, read the book of Daniel, he has a deep reverence for God. And he's in a culture, he's taken away from his homeland, he's a slave, and he gets an apprenticeship, 3 years. And he doesn't want to separate himself from God. He has a deep reverence for God, and he's firmly determined to not join in with the food and the wine from the king's table, which represents worldliness. Now, that food would have been sacrificed to idols and all kinds of stuff. It would have been great food. But he didn't want to defile himself. He didn't want to do that without having God. So he separated himself from that culture so that he could have God. And he was a very successful apprentice, him and his friends, because they esteemed God higher than what everyone else was doing. And they held on to God and they lived quite simply on vegetables and water. And what an amazing career. What an incredible career that he had, interpreting dreams and visions, giving wisdom to the king. That was his job. And he did his job so well. And he influenced the whole nation because he included God in what he was doing. Include God in your work. God is into your work and God is into you. And Daniel just simply walked with God. And how hard can it be to just invite God in? I will often walk through a playground and the client will say, "What can we do here?" And sometimes these playgrounds, like one playground, was about 2 metres wide and about 50 metres long. And I thought, what do you mean, what can I do here? You can't do anything here. How do you even build a childcare centre under a block of units? There's people living there and then you've got this long space and then it hooked around the corner and then it opened up a little bit on the other side. And I was like, I can't believe you're asking me this. Well, let me ask someone. And while they were over there talking about construction, I was over here going, okay, God, let's do this. Okay, let's walk through this. I'll walk with you. Okay, give me vision here. Give me something to see because I need something beyond this. And there was a 1.5 metre wall, which is about this high, and it went up into this little flat section. And then it opened out, it was probably 2 metres, and then it opened out to about 4 metres wide in this other spot. So we built a retaining wall. I just started getting all these pictures. I'm like, he comes back over to me. I look good. I look good to these guys who are kings, who have so much money that I don't. And so I'm like, well, what we can do is we can put a tunnel slide there and we can put another slide there and this will up play value here. And then the babies are over there, so we put a sand pit here and we'll make it, it'll only be small because you only have a small space, you realise that. And then what we'll do is we'll colour this wall and make it look really colourful. And yes, and so I just start going, and I know where that source is. I know the source of where that creativity, God is so creative, like super creative. And I do that all the time. I walk into a play space, I think, what am I going to do here? Okay, God, let's go for a walk. Let's just walk over this way. What can you see here? And if it was this, I would put a slide here and I'd put a tunnel there and a bar track here and something there and something that makes noise over here. We used to put bells in. It's like, we'll put a bell in. We don't put bells in very often because kids just stand there all day ringing the bell. It's pretty funny. It's fun. It's fun. But walk with God. I loved listening to Chris Vallotton podcast. He is with Bethel Church, Bill Johnson's sort of right-hand man. I'm a prophetic guy if you listen to his podcast or you know him. And before he was a prophet, he ran his own business and he has all these amazing stories. And so he was trying to fix a problem with a car and the manufacturer couldn't help him. Other businesses were having the same problem with this new type of car. And he's like, what is wrong with this car? He spent 3 days working on this thing, couldn't fix it. And he's like, hang on a minute. And he laid hands on the car. He's It's like, God, what is wrong with this car? And then he got a picture in his mind of a broken wire up underneath the wheel. So he lifted it up on the hoist. And what did he find? A broken wire underneath the wheel. So he fixed this car, got it down, told everyone else how to fix it. He looked good. And he fixed the car. Then he would invite God all the time into his business and into what he was doing. And, you know, when you read through the Bible, God is into what you're working with. And I love the story of David because he has an excellent work ethic. And it says about him, one of the servants had seen David, and when Saul was looking for someone, he says this, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. Well, was he playing the harp? He's not just playing the harp in his bedroom. He's out looking after the sheep, and he's just worshipping God out there. You read through the Psalms, he is seriously into God's presence. And when he was young and a shepherd, I mean, what an excellent work ethic. Like a bear came, and I don't know about you, but if a bear came, I would want more than a sling. I would want a vehicle and probably someone else that can shoot and a gun. But obviously David was out there playing his harp, trusting in God, and obviously he was practicing with his sling because he was really good at slinging stones. Just nailed a bear. Oh, a lion, take that one down too. Boom. What a good work ethic. What an amazing work ethic, really. And his foundation was in God's presence. He had an awesome work ethic, and when a problem came, he had a God that was bigger. Because he was always there. And he said about this, about Goliath, he said, the same God who saved me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. When he took down Goliath. Now, we had an interesting season through COVID when a lot of industries were shutting down and it was difficult for so many people. People lost businesses. People had hard times. People couldn't go to work. And in our industry, we work in schools. We work in childcare, we work in construction, and all that shut down. The only part that didn't close for us was councils. You were still okay to work in this council environment. It was sort of, you know, the pressure was on because we have a lot of bills, and we have staff, and we want to pay them, and we want them to work so we can get money so we can pay them. And it was like, am I going to lose this business? I've worked pretty hard for this. God has always looked after me. God, I know you've got a plan. I'm going to trust you. I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, we landed job after job in a council environment where you could still fulfill the 1.5 square metres and the 4 square metres. And we could have one guy having smoko over there, one guy sitting over there, one guy working over there. In an open area, we were allowed to work. And we get one or two of those jobs. And maybe we might get 3 in a year. We just got job after job, rode through that season, kept working, and just the favour of God, just the favour of God, just walking with God through a season. And God wants to bless you. He wants to give you favour. He wants to give you good work, work that you're wired for, work that includes him, work that is excellent, work that provides. Can I have the band come up? We're going to close. So have an excellent approach to work. Do well. And when you're doing well, do better. And invite God into what you're doing. You know, and maybe, you know, whatever season of work you're in, maybe you're retired. Well, let me say this. Jesus, he retired early. He left his carpentry and then he went around doing good. So if you are retired or if you're not sure what to do, walk with God and then just do something good. For someone, or for him, or for something. Just walk with him. Do something good. He will bless you. He will be into it. And why don't we stand this morning? Love to pray for you, especially if you need work. I love work, and I'm a big believer in God's provision for good work. And, you know, and if you're sort of in some sort of situation with work and you need prayer for that, we're going to close right now. And if you would like, the altar's always open for that. But Chris, why don't I hand it back to you? Jesus, Jesus.
hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.